They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And just so you know, in case you thought I didn't do the crime, I totally did do the crime that I'm accused of as a child murderer.
He was a child murderer and nothing else. I'm glad this, because we're watching Nightmare on Elm Street 2010.
Yeah.
As our second installment of our remake season. And man, are we really leaning into a premise in this one.
Ugh, I do not enjoy this movie because last week we opened up with Rob Zombie's Halloween, which is, I would say, divisive. But overall, we walked away from it going, you know what? It might not be my favorite Halloween, but it's not bad. It has its merit. It has some good points. And at least it does something a little bit different. Even if that different is coming all over them flappy titties. It's different, though.
Don't say the C word. He says choke his chicken or whatever. Purge
You're
his
right.
snorkel.
I said the wrong C word. I should have said choke the chicken instead of coming. So I will say it has its merit. It has its merit. Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 came out a year after Friday the 13th, 2009, which we'll cover in this remake series, of course.
Yep.
Friday the 13th, 2009, great. Thought it was a lot of fun. One of the best openings ever.
I'll hold my opinions till we watch the movie.
I plead the fifth until it's time to testify.
F-I-F. Fifth.
And then this was done by Platinum Dunes, who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which I will not comment on until it's time.
Great.
It's good. Jessica Biel in that white shirt and the sprinklers.
I forgot about that. How can I forget?
I don't forget about that. And this was done by Platinum Dunes, who did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but this was not good. I did not like this one at all. What about you?
This is my second time seeing this, Gavin, and also you had problems finding it because it's not streaming on anything, and then you watch it and you realize, thank God, we're not subjecting the public to this. But I got this. I had this on DVD. I think this was a Goodwill purchase, and I watched it the one time because I said, how bad could it be? And then I said, oh. It's
the- you were taken aback by just how awful this is.
Yeah.
I saw this in the theater.
Lucky.
I paid 2010 theater prices because I was so excited. I think I saw this at midnight probably when they still did midnight releases.
Yeah. What'd you dress up as?
I dressed up as Freddy Krueger, my favorite child murderer. You know.
You didn't dress up as one of the little girls jumping rope?
I dressed up like the rope, actually. I was skinny back then.
You're skinny now. You're a bean pole.
I'm not a bean pole.
You're a tall drink of water.
I mean, I think I'm a little bit fit. I've lost some weight, thankfully, because I was getting a little chunky.
No, I don't think you're a bean pole. I think you're the size you should be. But you are
Thanks.
Tall.
I am tall. I am a tall drink of water. People are always freaked out by how tall I am.
Yeah. They say, you're a tall drink of water. I'm a wide drink of water.
Stand next to each other, we make the number 10.
Yeah, and we really like to do who's on first. So
but yeah, I saw this in the theater, and I thought it was going to be okay because I like Jackie Earle Haley, which we'll talk about as Frederick Krueger, as Fred Krueger. But then we saw it, I was like, oh, this sucked. And this was a movie that I had trouble. It's only 90 minutes. I had trouble focusing on it because it's just so fucking bad from the jump.
I want to focus on some good stuff so it's not all shitting on it.
Yeah.
But why is this bad, Gavin? Do we talk about the big overall plot device where I think it loses everybody first?
Yeah, I think we could talk about that. I think for me, it's just, I think the visuals are pretty bad. I think to have Jackie Earle Haley, no matter how good of a job he does, I think that it's, I think he does a good job, but the material isn't very good. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like any of these characters. None of these characters feel good except for the character played by Kyle Gallner, because I love Kyle Gallner.
Is he the side nerd?
Yeah, he's a side nerd. This is our third. Yeah, this is our third Kyle Gallner movie we've discussed on this podcast.
Which, let me guess, the first one or one of them was the Death movie that I can't think of right now.
Final Destination?
Final Destination, was that one of them?
It is not. Okay. He was in Scream 5.
Okay.
He's one of the, like, Stu's nephew or uncle or something.
Okay.
He's, like, related to them. He's, like, the boyfriend who's, like, in the car and gets killed.
Okay.
And then he was also in an episode I did with Tina. He was just in Jennifer's Body.
Okay. So, yeah. So he's kind of a Scream queen.
He is. He's also in Smile, which is beloved. Mm-hmm. People love Kyle Gallner on Twitter. People go crazy for him because he's kind of like whatever the boy version of a manic pixie dream girl is. I guess he's like a bipolar depressed boy guy.
That's when they pull out the Rolodex for bipolar depressed pixie dream man. He's number one.
It's Kyle Gallner's number one. And then Devin Sawa's number two, I think.
He follows me on Twitter, so he's good in my book.
Devin Sawa?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He seems like a really cool dude.
He does seem like. I don't know him. So I can, but I could say, hire him to babysit your kids. No background check.
Devin Sawa, he's okay.
But Fred Krueger, not so much.
I don't know.
Well,
so let's talk about the. Do you want to talk about the plot device?
Yeah. The thing is, it's been a running joke for me and just my life, but also on this podcast too, because we've talked about what two Nightmare on Elm Street movies, three with Freddy versus Jason. That you know, Freddy, I've always said, is my favorite pedophile. He's everybody's like. People love Freddy Krueger. I'm not a huge fan of him. I like Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, and I like some other ones. But if you really want to dissect this character, he's probably a pedophile, right?
Yeah. Like, if you wear a Freddy Krueger shirt to pick up your kids from school, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I wear my Josh Duggar shirt near a playground, mm-hmm. I'm asked to leave the playground.
Sir,
and that's not fair.
Sir, and also you're like, please get your kids and leave. And you're like, oh, I don't have any kids.
I was actually, I was just about to pick, actually.
I'm here to feed the ducks.
Sir, there's no pond here.
Sir.
Oh. yeah, he's a pedophile. And the earlier movies are very nondescript
he's a
dirty child murderer. Mm-hmm. But by Freddy versus Jason, he's like licking photos of little girls, and he's just like he's basically just like wearing pedophile on his sleeve.
Yeah, and this movie makes a choice to make him a pedophile, and like shows him with children.
Yes, and it is. A choice. I like that they tease when he's being chased down by the parents. And this, there's not really any spoilers because this is basically a beat for beat same thing as the original movie mm-hmm. for the most part. There's nothing really new. Nothing. There's no chances taken really. And when you think it's going to take a chance, it just doesn't, which is disappointing.
I disagree. I think it took a big chance.
You think
so? With saying, yeah, this guy's a pedophile.
Okay, yeah, I guess. I like the bigger chance, though, because when the parents go to chase him down, and he says, I don't know what you think I did. I don't know what you think I did. And you're like, well, maybe he's innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what they're going to make this different. You're like, I think that's kind of compelling that he has a reason now to come back and take revenge on these parents because of he didn't do it. And then 12 minutes later, they're like, we found his box of porn.
Yeah.
And we found the photos, and you're like, oh, no, he did do it.
In the rape cave.
Yeah.
That is... Because they call it a cave, right? Like...
Yeah, like, come down to my... He's the entire thing of, like, he's a gardener at a preschool who lives in the basement of the
Groundskeeper Freddy.
you got to get me down here. just, have you ever been to somewhere where they have like a live-in person like that?
No. No. The answer is no.
Especially like a live-in groundskeeper or like, yeah, that's just the gardener who works at the preschool. He lives in the basement.
Yeah, like it's just, it's weird. And he also seems like a too nice of a guy at first.
Yeah.
And then we see why.
I don't like I don't like those nice guys. I like guys who are a little rough around the edges. Maybe hits the kids every once in a while.
With a leather jacket.
He's like, oh, I can't be around these kids. Whoa.
You're creeping my style.
Oh, look at him. I got to take the lady to the sock hob later, and these fucking kids are around. Look at
Who's been in my fridge in the gabagool?
Oh, Carmela, listen, I fucking told you the fucking bird seed. Where's the fucking bird seed?
But yeah, he's like a groundskeeper type guy at a preschool, and then the kids start coming home and saying he's touching us.
Yeah, he's also not very, first off, how much groundskeeping does this preschool
need? It's double the size of the room I'm in now is the outside space.
He's not doing any fucking groundskeeping. He's too busy playing hide and seek with the kids.
Yeah.
Like, what are we paying you for, Fred? What are we paying you for?
He's like, and he seems to be great friends with it. Like, just if, say for the pedophile part, I'd be like, this guy's good with kids.
You know? And for the pedophile part, you'd be like, this guy's good with kids.
Oh, that's where he lost me.
Also, this preschool name is Bad Ham.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's Bad Ham. I was like, what? Bad Ham? Is that like an inside joke or something?
Maybe it's Badham.
Badham. Maybe. I like Bad Ham better.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, yeah. I actually sent my kids to Good Chicken preschool.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Well, you got money like that.
For the rest of us, I got a government voucher to send my kids to Bad Ham.
But like, the thing in the movie where they decide, yes, he's a pedophile, and there's the majority of people watching would say, I don't like this. I don't want to root for this guy anymore, because when it was vague or ambiguous. And yeah, he was just a child murderer and had the fun one-liners. People are like, oh, this is great. We can go watch this and have fun. But nobody wants to see a child molester movie.
Yeah, unless it's like a biopic or like an actual documentary or something. But yeah, you don't want to. Nobody wants to wear a Jackie Earl Haley Freddy shirt with pride. Like, oh, that's the one where he's actually a diddler. Like, that's the one where they, like, are no longer being, like, coy about it. Like, oh, no, he's... And then I think they even made it worse in this by having, like, the cave. And he's also... He's inviting these kids back to his cave or whatever. And then he's sending them home with, like, very distinct claw marks.
Like, he's not even good at it.
That's... I'm like, he's not good at it. He's not good at it.
There's no discretion at all. Like...
I know. And they're like, well, who's...
Who could have done this?
I don't want to get too dark with this, but it's like, you can't send these kids home with very distinct four-finger claw marks on them and be like, well, how'd you get that? Oh, there was a tiger at preschool that scratched me today.
And I guess it's one of those where I'm like, hey, good for you to actually make a choice in a remake and not just have it be bland. But it's the wrong choice. Now it's not fun. It's not fun to root for Freddy when he says whatever funny, catchy line and then kills the person. It's not, that one's not fun because the child molestation and rape is a true life horror. It's like what we talked about last week with the rape scene at Halloween 2007. Mm-hmm. It's not fun to watch because that's real horror.
Yeah, and I do think that they did make Freddy tried to make Freddy more scary in this. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a very dark sense of humor. It's not like, welcome to prime time, bitch. It's more like, let me take a stab at him. Mm-hmm. And like very dry, darker one-liners. So he's not trying to be funny. And they definitely nail the tone of an actual child molester murderer, Freddy Krueger. So I think Jackie Earle Haley, he does a good job despite how bad the movie overall is. I think he does a good job.
Second best Freddy, in my opinion.
Second best Freddy. I think so, too. I think between him and Robert Englund, he is definitely one of them.
Silver medal.
I think it's going to be hard, no matter who plays Freddy Krueger after Robert Englund, Robert Englund is everybody's Freddy Krueger. And it's like if you try to replace anybody else on a show who's beloved, there's going to be people just from the jump to say, I don't like him because he's not my guy. I wouldn't have envied anybody that was going to play this character.
Yeah, when you were gone on your hiatus and I had to make people be the new Brent Tyrhune,
yep.
People did not like it.
We want that other guy.
Yeah, I was like, I hope they like me enough because it's going to be me for the next couple of weeks.
And most of those comments you got were me making other accounts saying, bring Brent back.
And I was like, why are you going through all this work? You can just come back.
You got to make the people want you.
It was, whatever you were going through was actually just a very sick publicity stunt to get listeners to the show.
I was trying to get sympathy. It's like Robert Englund. I don't know how many Freddy Nightmare on Elm Street movies there were. 8, 10?
There are 8 if you include Freddy versus Jason.
Okay, so 8. Mm-hmm. And he's really good as Freddy.
Yes.
People like him. He's fun in interviews. He's not an asshole. He seems to be good for the fans and with the fans. So if you try to replace this guy, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, he's very much... Because he's a literal face of a franchise. He mm-hmm. talks. He quips. People know him. It's not like Jason. You can't just put somebody else in the mask. So Jackie Earle Haley always had a very uphill battle to climb to beat Freddy Krueger. And for this Freddy, I think he does a good job. Did you like the design of this Freddy?
Yeah, he looks menacing. I thought maybe he could have been a little taller. He seemed like a short king.
Yeah.
which I am compared to you.
Yeah.
But he was menacing in other ways other than to be the towering giant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The makeup looked good, and I remember the first time I watched this and I watched the extras on the DVD, and it was like a mixture of makeup and CGI. I think that's the best way to use CGI is with practical effects mixed with regular makeup, you know, mm-hmm. with the CGI, not just straight CGI. But yeah. I think the look is good. His voice is good. It's just the direction they took with the character.
Yes. I think that the cheek stuff looked really good when there's like very deep wounded and he looks like an actual burn victim. Mm-hmm. Freddy, as the series went on, as Robert Englund, he got more just like, I don't know, it looked too clean. Because that first movie, he looks real nasty and burnt and gross. And then by, like, the sixth one, he's like, oh, he just has, like, a pizza on his face. It didn't look scary anymore.
Well, I think back then it was different, too. If you look at the Friday movies, you could say it was intentional, but it's like, from one to the next, he looks completely different, even though at the end of one, he air quotes, dies, and then the beginning of the next one literally just sits up. And I'm like, how is this different shit on him, you know?
Yeah,
it's not even the same.
Yeah, there's very little continuity between like those later ones. Between like one, yeah, his face keeps changing. Like he apparently shaves his head between 2 and 3. 3 and 4 is pretty consistent. 6 to 7 is okay because at the end of Friday the 13th Part 6, he gets in the lake and like gets all decomposed. But then Friday the 13th Part 8, Manhattan, he's like back to normal, and you're like, nah, I like the skeleton one better. Where'd the skeleton one go?
Yeah, where it's they're like, yeah, whatever, just make the movie, and that. But also now, in hindsight, it's charming. There's charm to it. You can tell who's
charm.
Who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the version of Jackie Earle Haley, I think, looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him as an actor. He, you know, Rorschach, the character from Watchmen. I really like his character.
Yeah, one of my favorite jokes about Rorschach. was somebody on Twitter said, I really liked that Watchmen movie, but I really hated that Rorschach wore a mask with my parents fighting on it.
That's funny.
That's a Rorschach test joke there for y'all. I thought he was good. Let's talk about the rest of this cast. And something I do want to do real quick is first plug our Patreon, patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. If you like this content and want some more bonus content, hopefully Brent's sympathy plea worked enough for you to donate to our Patreon at just $5. For just $5 a month at one of our lower tiers at $5 a month, I mail you a sticker, you get bonus episodes, all kinds of fun stuff. Okay, so that's patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. Second.
Hey, Gavin.
Yo.
We're going to be doing something on Patreon here soon, horror trivia, because I'm holding right here on the camera that nobody can see because it's audio, is trivia. And it's horror movie trivia, and it's a calendar that I've been saving up to ask some questions. So let me do a trivia question for you.
Okay.
We're going to start doing this over on Patreon. I don't know why I said it. Patreon.
Patreon.
Like the mom from Schitt's Creek. Patreon. Who was the artist that gave the alien xenomorph? You love Alien, so mm-hmm. XX121. Am I saying that right? Xenomorph?
Yes.
XX121 movie creature, its design. A. Francis Bacon. B. Bill Stoneham. C. H.R. Geiger. And D. Zitzlodzbizvinsky.
It's not that one.
Yeah. Out of all those, who designed the alien xenomorph?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
It's H.R. Geiger.
What? That's actually the correct sound. We do things a little differently here on the pod.
Burr, burr, burr.
That means you won $1 million.
Patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. We're going to be start doing trivia nights over Zoom that you can be invited to and hang out with us. This is going to be either the best idea we've ever had or the worst thing we've ever decided to do.
If we don't promote it again, you know it was the worst idea.
If you never hear about it again. And then second, as we do these remake seasons, I do want to compare the original Rotten Tomatoes score to the remake score. So, Britt, what do you think the original Nightmare on Elm Street got on Rotten Tomatoes?
That's out of 10, right?
It's out of 100.
Out of 100?
Percent.
100%. So I'm going to say the original one got 89%.
Dun, 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 dun! That's the wrong noise.
It's different on the trivia. That means it's wrong.
Oh, God, I can't keep these noises straight.
Our soundboard's crazy.
What does mean?
Oh, it means that's a bonus round.
More like boner round?
Bonus. Okay.
Bona. Oh, my God.
What was the original score, Gavin?
It was 95%.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Not as good as Godfather 2. I don't know what that score is, but I'm sure Godfather 2 is better.
What do you think the score was for the remake?
I think I looked this up, so this is probably me cheating, but I'm going to say 13%.
It's actually 14%.
Oh, damn. I was one off.
So you would have got close without going over, so you do win both showcases.
Yeah, a new dryer.
You're getting the dryer, you're getting the motorhome, you're getting the trip to Istanbul.
Yeah, for 5 nights and 2 days. I don't know how that works, but we're going, baby.
Yeah, 95 versus 14. This is actually the lowest rated Elm Street movie of all time on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not surprising for anybody, even though there are some bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's again, when you're trying to... A lot of these remakes that we're doing are such iconic movies. When you say horror, you think of Halloween or Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. So it's like this is an uphill battle from start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I do want to say that for me, what I didn't like about this movie is this movie is so fucking loud. Did you find it to be like a very loud movie?
I didn't, but I was just watching at home. Mm. So, what was it louder during the commercials? Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
I felt like, because I was watching it with surround sound, because I'm not a poor. I was watching it.
I am a poor.
Yeah, I was watching it with like
how big is your TV?
It is, I think, 55.
Mine's 70. Fuck you.
But mine's got more girth.
Yours is girthy, like a Pringles can.
Everything's
stretched. I don't know what that means with the TV.
But everything is stretched real wide with the TV, which also applies to my poor, poor girlfriend.
And it sounds like, it smells like, it tastes like sour cream and onion.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But it was just very loud. Like, everything in this, like, every jump scare is the loudest thing you've ever experienced.
Yeah, and that's probably a trend that they were using. It's still a trend of, hey, if it's a jump scare, make it louder than everything else.
Yeah, they're like, when they're doing the sound mix, they're like, make sure that the dialogue is set to negative 50 so you can't hear anything. Yeah. Make sure the score is set at 25, and make sure the jump scare is set at fucking Metallica concert.
That's true. Because, I have the closed captioning on because sometimes I don't like to have the TV blaring.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sometimes I just chew so goddamn loud that it's hard to hear the TV. So I gotta read it.
I try not to do subtitles. Just, I don't know why. I feel like it takes my attention away from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you call them closed captioning and not subtitles, because it's just
provided
like,
by
provided by viewers like you. Thanks, PBS. I
couldn't think of the other word.
I feel like closed captioning is like an old for like older people, even though it's the same.
Well, I'm
thing.
An old.
You're an old now.
Yeah, even though you're older than me.
Yeah, that's why I got these good ears. Though I got these young. I have the ears of a 23-year-old.
Tight ears.
I got these the tightest ears, just waiting to hear the dirtiest things.
I can smell your podcast.
I can hear your pussy.
So what were you saying there, Gavin? So loud.
It's just very loud. It took me out of it because, like, you can't hear what they're saying. And then when the jump scares happen, you're like, Jesus, am I at a performance of Stomp right now? It's too loud. It's too loud.
It's too loud. What else was wrong with it?
I thought the CGI was pretty bad for the most part. I think when you take away the practical effects of the original and you just do CGI, it looks not as good. It doesn't hold up as well. Like in the original, when he comes to the wall, it was all like they pushed him against like a foam latex wall and it looks great. And this is just looks like regular 2010 CGI, which doesn't hold up very well.
Unless it's the Lord of the Rings, probably the CGI is not that great.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, though, even though I watched it this past Christmas, Lord of the Rings looks a little rough at times. It does not hold up as well as I hoped it would.
But how old is that movie now at this point? 20 years?
20 years old, which I don't like it being that old.
I saw that in the theater.
I remember going to the theater.
We saw it in the theater, which was the style at the time.
When I saw Lord of the Rings, there was a man off to the side playing piano for the score.
Piani. Get it right. He played piani.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know why I just did the fucking bass. He's playing the baseball organ while Lord of the Rings was playing. It's very distracting.
I thought the CGI was, you know, at a certain point, you just have to accept that certain CGI in certain movies sucks. And I know what you're going for. But yeah, it doesn't help it when the CGI sucks.
Yeah, I also thought the sound effects when the character of Chris gets killed like Tina, the sound effects were hilarious. Because she was like whooshing over the rim. I was like, they're adding a zinger or a zap for every little like whoosh.
Bonk.
There was an air horn went off. There was a when they dragged her through the chicken coop, I thought that was unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah. When they had that fight in the xylophone store.
When he killed that one guy on the piano from Big, I was like, "This, it's too much. It's too much. I'm no longer scared."
I didn't really notice much about the sound, to be honest. Maybe it's just because I was noticing everything else about the movie. And we get some beats of the original and some some stuff that's not. So like I made a note and producer wife watched it with me. we get like the iconic bathtub scene, but just for like a second.
Yeah.
Or you get like the dragging of the dead body and the body bag down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, since what this is a remake season, do you think it even behooves these movies to try and do those big iconic scenes? Because it's nobody's ever going to think, wow, they did it better than the original that we've loved for 40 years.
I don't know, because I can't think of anything aside from Bob getting killed, getting stabbed to the wall.
That was my other note, is Bob getting stabbed to the wall.
I thought that was okay, but you didn't have Rob Zombie having this giant Michael Myers driving the station wagon or standing mm-hmm. behind the hedges or anything like that. He kind of made his own thing, for better or for worse, as we said. Mm-hmm. This, though, I think the bathtub scene's okay. I think that was done well. That was done really well. I thought actually the plastic scene in this one was actually really creepy. I thought it was a little scarier than the original, actually.
In the original, it's not a clear bag, right?
It kind of is. Black. But I feel like this one was definitely more clear, though.
I feel like it'd be pretty messed up if they did have clear body bags. Because part of it is to not be able to see it, you know?
Listen, I think they need to do like they did in the mid-90s, late 90s, when everything had like clear and neon. I want to look like I've died and been put into a 1999 iMac computer.
I want to be able to take the body bag into a concert. And the only way you can is if they have that clear bag policy, is you got to be able to see what's in the bag, you know?
Grandma wanted to see the show, and I think that she would want to be here. Be like, well, luckily I can see her.
She wanted to go to the Straight No Chaser Christmas concert.
Have you been to a concert where people don't know the bag policy and they get all the way to the front of the line and get pissed?
Yeah, it's called WrestleMania when producer wife and I went there, and then we had to walk all the way back to the goddamn car.
Yeah, they're like, nope, can't bring that in, can't do it, gotta, yeah, I saw a lot of people.
And then you could hear the first match, which it's a battle royal, so what that doesn't really matter, but you could hear the stuff going on from the stadium, and, you know, but then I was also too cheap to pay the pedal bike guy to bring us back quickly. Then it was like out of spite, it was like, no, I'm not supporting Orlando any more than I have to, even though it wasn't their fault.
I like to bring my guns in, but I'm like, but it's in the clear bag, so this is fine, right?
Yeah, it's I wore clear pants so you could see it shoved down the back crack of my ass.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I do think that the clear bag in this, just the way her face looked and the way the blood was better, that was like the one thing that creeped me out in this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the one scene that I really liked?
Go ahead. Please
was
do.
There's more that I liked about it, but I liked the blood hallway scene.
Okay, yeah.
Where she's running down the hallway and then it turns to like blood and now she's waist deep in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know if that's even in the franchise or if that's been done in other movies, but I just liked it for whatever reason.
Yeah, this movie has a weird... It has like this weird following where, despite it not being well liked, this Freddy Krueger has made more appearances outside of this franchise in like video games than regular
Injustice.
Freddy
Krueger. Was he in the Injustice video games or whatever it's called?
No, he was in Mortal Kombat 9, but it was,
and it was this version?
It was this version in Mortal Kombat 9, but they had Robert Englund come back to voice him, so it was very confusing.
It's weird. They said, give us the pedo variant.
Yeah. Yes. And then they actually had, they have this version of Freddy in Dead by Daylight. And for some reason, Warner, or whoever owns the rights now, only gave them the rights to this Freddy Krueger. They also have this... this area of Springwood as like a map for Dead by Daylight as well. So I recognize more of this movie from playing Dead by Daylight than remembering watching this movie.
Maybe they're like, yeah, we'll do it, but we're not going to give you the good version. It's like if you gave your email to somebody. You gave them the Yahoo email as opposed to the Gmail one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I think it was a rights thing because they didn't want to have to pay. They don't have to pay like Robert Englund for like the voice lines or his likeness. Yeah. And Jackie Earle Haley is like, I guess you can just.
I'll do it. Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
So, I'm on the Funko Pop website right now, and his version is actually called the Pedo Variant.
Okay, yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's
Pedo says, Freddy.
It just says Pedo Freddy, and then in parentheses it goes, he did molest those kids.
He did it.
He did it.
I'm actually, I was at Springwood, Ohio. I'm on the Watchdog website where it shows who's in the neighborhood, and there's just a big Freddy Krueger flashing one over that preschool, so...
I think it's worse, too, that he, like, worked in a preschool.
It's so much worse that it's kids. It's, yeah. Like, little kids. It's not... it's always bad, no matter who it is. Yeah. But it's that you're not likable at all.
Like,
you know?
It's going to sound funny, but it's all bad. It's all bad. It's all awful. But there are degrees of awful within everything being awful. And this is, like, the tippy top of being awful.
Yeah, and he has photos of it, and it's just, I don't know where else we want to go in the movie, because we've had some good things to say, but also I don't think anybody would disagree with the bad things we've said.
I do, a couple notes that I did have that are fun. I like that the movie opens with a boiler room brawl from WrestleMania 96.
I was going to say, I really wanted Mankind and The Undertaker to be fighting in the background.
I love how hard the Elm Street franchise goes on boiler rooms. They're like, that's half their budget. They're like, we got to make him look good burned. We got to have like some creepy CGI scenes. Also, did we buy a boiler room?
It is weird because it's been in every movie, I would assume, a boiler room.
Yeah.
You think you'd change it up a little bit, maybe. But again, we've already seen it in the movie. Maybe if it was a good movie, we'd be like, oh, we loved the boiler room stuff.
We fucking love the I love a movie with a boiler room. Titanic, one of my favorite movies, epic boiler room scene when they're covered in soot powering the ship that is unsinkable.
I found out your next topic on Gavin Loves Horror is boiler room scenes.
I have to watch the entire movie that's just called Boiler Room.
That one, Titanic, this one, all the Freddies, and something else, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Just any... does Ghost Ship have a boiler room in it?
Probably. I think that's where they kept Mudvayne. To play their soundtrack was down there in the boiler room.
Well, that would make sense because to get the cult, they would have to dig right your third, everything that I heard. Bing, da, bing. I also wrote on here my in the beginning when that guy's in the diner and Katie Cassidy from Arrow comes in and she's like, you look terrible. It looks like you haven't slept. And I'm like, he looks fucking hot. He looks like he looks better than we look with a good night of sleep.
Yeah, they cast these hotties to play, and then when they looked all exhausted, I'm like, you're still better looking than me on a good day.
You look so tired, man. He's like, I haven't slept. Look how shitty and disheveled my hair looks as it perfectly falls over my face.
Oh, my abs are so chiseled because I'm tired. coconut oil running down them.
To stay awake, I was counting carbs and doing push-ups.
One carb, two carb.
Oh, what else did I see? Of course, Kyle Gallner, I think, is great. I enjoy him in everything. Are you a Kyle Gallner fan?
I'm looking up on the IMDb, and now I see he's got his more like adult picture, and now I recognize him from stuff. From Smile, Scream, we've got Dinner in America, Interrogation. I don't know that one. But yeah, I recognize this guy now.
Yeah. He seems like a cool dude. He seems really fun on Twitter, too. So give him a follow, I guess. I will say, speaking of Kyle Gallner, why did the reveal of him finding out, like, the parents killed Freddy Krueger, why did it have to be, one, while he was swimming during swim practice? That's fine. He falls asleep in the pool, as you do.
You know how you just swim, and then that's why they said don't eat 30 minutes before swimming, especially don't make it carbs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll just get hit with that carb coma right in the middle of the breaststroke.
while you're dolphin swimming. Why did he fall asleep while swimming, then wake up in the boiler room pool? You know, the boiler room pool, like all boiler rooms have.
I don't think that was a pool. I think it was just a something. Just something with shit in it or what. I don't know what it was. He's a dream demon, Gavin. Let it go.
He's like, listen, he's a dream demon. If he wants to have an Olympic size regulation pool in his boiler room, that's going to cost him at least.
It wasn't
like
Olympic size.
I'm telling you, it was Olympic size. Michael Phelps is there on his off days in the boiler room. Because in the photo, I don't notice this, when they found like all the kids in the photos, one of those kids, Michael Phelps.
And you could tell that it was Michael Phelps because he was holding a bong. You know, this is where I drew the line where he started giving these kids drugs.
Yeah, I was like, just touch them. Don't give them drugs. What are you doing?
I wasn't going to say just touch them. I was just going to let that be implied.
Well, we're going to cut that out probably.
I won't. I'm lazy.
Just don't give them drugs. Jesus.
And then, like, they get the chase scene where he's like, oh, no. Like, he's very Ned Flanders about this whole thing.
Yeah. But the funniest part was he comes out of the Olympic-sized pool, regulation pool, at the boiler room. And he's watching his parents set this man on fire, but he's still in his fucking Speedo. Like, it was just very out of place. Like, why does he have to be in his Speedo for this?
What else would he change into?
He's, to quote you, he's a dream demon. It doesn't matter. He can put him
in. No, that's where the logic stops is when I disagree.
Pool sizes don't matter. Doesn't matter. But he needs to be in that Speedo. Listen, whatever you're into is your business.
Well, can we talk about Clancy Brown being in this movie?
For like 12 minutes?
Do you know who he is, Clancy Brown?
Yeah, Clancy Brown. He's from, he was the Kurgan in Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
He's Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
Ah, gah, 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 gah.
Oh, SpongeBob.
Freddy me boy. They're trying to take the Krabby Patty's secret recipe. I don't know the premise of SpongeBob.
One of the other kids in the photo that they found, Pearl from SpongeBob. Pearl.
A whale. Literal whale.
His whale daughter.
Also, we've not covered it, but he was in Pet Sematary 2 with one of the best kills I've ever seen in a movie.
Okay, I've never seen Pet Sematary 2.
Well, you're missing out, dog, because it's got Clancy Brown, and he's an asshole.
Oh, he plays an asshole a lot.
Yeah.
He's good, though. I like him.
He's got a great voice.
He does. He's Mr. Krabs. Did you know that?
Now, did you know that he was Mr. Krabs? One of my favorite things to do is when watching movies, I think maybe I mentioned it last week on the Halloween episode, but to be watching a movie with somebody, let's say we're watching Forrest Gump, and then I say, did you know that that's Tom Hanks?
You mentioned last week that you like to lie and say they improvise this when they're shooting somebody. You know, in RoboCop, they improvised when they hit that guy with the car and he exploded. That was method.
Yeah, he actually, they weren't, they had like all that toxic waste just up there because he's method, but they didn't expect him to hit the thing with a car and have it go everywhere.
It was really good, though. I think the film is better for it, actually.
Did you know that he's RoboCop? Say it seriously and point at the screen until they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Did you know that in Halloween, the Michael Myers mask is actually a William Shatner mask?
No, I didn't know that. That William Shatner mask should have won an Oscar.
I know. I think so.
His role in Hereditary.
This is the dumbest fucking podcast. Why do people give us money and like us?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Any other thoughts on this movie? I mean, the premise is kind of...
Yeah, I feel like...
It's like they... There's not like a ton of premise in it. It's like they kind of assume that we know the premise of it, right?
Like, yeah, they kind of go along with it or whatever, where it's just like, yeah, this is just how it is. You're going to pull him out of the dream world. You're going to fight him. Rooney Mara actually would go on to have a much better career after this. She would be in The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, which I think she got nominated for like an Oscar for.
And shout out to her name being Rooney.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I wrote in my notes is after they're getting ready to fight Freddy, it is just weird to me that the two main characters make out in the molestation cave. That's weird to me. Be like, you know where you were traumatized? Let's make new memories here.
I guess. I don't know. Like, I guess they're strong and trying to be with each other, but it's just weird to know that all that bad shit happened in that room.
Yeah.
I do like that he tore off that paper cutter thing and was using it as a weapon.
Yeah. I love Chekhov's paper cutter. If you see the paper cutter in Act 1, you'll see him use the weapon in Act 2. And then just a side note, if Freddy Krueger was living in that basement, what a shithole.
My God, yeah. Just got a hot plate down there. And
just like, all right, everybody goes home for the day. It's like, well, time to go home. And I'm in a literal shithole.
You know how on all the social media things, if you scroll enough, you'll see, here's a day in the life of me living in a van. Mm-hmm. I wake up in a Planet Fitness parking lot. You think if Jackie Earle Haley's like, here's a day in the life of living in a boiler room. Under a daycare.
Well, about 5 a.m. I wake up, start boiling the room.
And then I go in I can't talk about this room, but...
then I play hide and seek with some kids that aren't mine for like a good 6 to 7 hours. I plant a ficus, and then I call it a day.
And you promise not to tell anybody about it. Also, I love the different methods that they use to try and stay awake. Yeah. At no point has anybody ever said, why don't we do meth?
That's.
You think that would give you an edge to be so awake, but then you'd have like that meth strength?
I think if you do meth, not only will you fight Freddy Krueger, but your house will be so fucking clean.
So clean.
God, it's
so fresh.
It's really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's like they'll do ADHD pills or those trucker no-dose pills or whatever, mm-hmm. but nobody will do meth.
Well, they did say that they want to make this movie different by introducing the idea of micro-naps, where you're asleep without knowing you're asleep, because they didn't want to make it too predictable for when they were actually falling asleep or whatever.
There were a lot of those false asleep, but he's awake type moments.
Yeah. I thought they overused it. So basically they said, we don't want him to be regular asleep. We want him to be a special kind of asleep, which mm-hmm. is still just them being asleep. It's just asleep with more steps.
They had the REM sleep, which had Michael Stipe in it.
That's when, that's actually when Freddy Krueger was in the corner.
Yeah. That was him in the spotlight. Actually, it cuts the guy in the corner. It's the guy from Blair Witch, Bisson.
Sorry, I'm just not feeling very Catholic today. Actually,
I don't know if what else is there to be said about this movie.
I do think the ending is cool. When they kill Connie Britton by stabbing her in the head.
Oh, when he comes out of the mirror?
Yeah, that's a much better ending than the Spirit Halloween skeleton in the bed or yanking that woman through the weird peephole.
Yeah, I do miss the Freddy Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Them pulling up in the car that looks exactly like a sweater,
mm-hmm.
but not realizing that it's him.
Yep. I do have some fun facts for you.
Yeah, make them fun.
Okay. The Freddy gloves were the most protected props on the set. Previous films had issues with the gloves being stolen. Most notorious was a glove was stolen from one of the films and appeared in Evil Dead 2 hanging in a shed.
And we know it was goddamn Sam Raimi that stole it, that Mm-mm. bastard.
That son of a bitch. Heather Langenkamp, who played Nancy in A Nightmare on Elm Street, was offered a cameo but declined. She would have played a waitress in the opening diner scene.
And probably after she read the part where they made him a pedophile.
She's like, oh, boy.
Nope.
For those who think that Jackie Earle Haley and Robert Englund may not have gotten along, Robert Englund actually gave his personal blessing to Jackie Earle Haley to replace him as Freddy, saying, "The torch has been well passed. Now go play the best pedophile you can."
He slapped him on the butt.
No, he just said the torch has been well passed. And then it may have been originally intended as a prequel, but the idea was dropped. I will say this. This is a shout out to one of my friend Kevin Roach, who's a wonderful actor. He actually did a short film called The Confession of Fred Krueger, where he plays Freddy Krueger like in that original interrogation, but when he gets off on the technicality or whatever. It's actually a very good short film. So it's called The Confession of Fred Krueger. I think it's online for free.
It's on BrentComedy.com. That's not true. Probably it's on YouTube.
If I can find it on YouTube, I'll probably throw it up on the Patreon for free just so people can see it.
Nice. We're going to give the something for free that's already free somewhere else.
Yeah, it's what I do with my Gavilo's Horror video sometimes. I'm like, I got a built-in audience here. Help me boost the algorithm, guys.
Hey, no promoting your own shit.
I'm sorry.
You work for this podcast.
I work for this podcast. I'm sorry.
Going no business for yourself.
No side projects.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, Rooney Mara hated being in this movie so much that she almost quit acting.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's it. I think that's pretty much all the fun facts that I have. This is a little bit, this just isn't a fun movie to talk about because it's not particularly funny. It's not bad in a fun way. It's just kind of like bad, right?
Yeah. There's a reason that I only watched it the one time and then I probably won't watch it again.
Yeah. I'm fine going my entire life never seeing this movie again, honestly. It's just not super good. It's not fun to watch. Is this a party movie, Brent?
Hell yeah, it's a party.
It's a party movie, baby. When I have the guys from NAMBLA over, they're like, "What do you want to watch?" And they're like, "The Woodsman with Kevin Bacon." And they're like, "No, Nightmare on Elm Street 2010, hell yeah."
Yeah. No, it's not a party movie.
Mm-mm-mm. Is it scary?
Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there are parts that are kind of frightening. If you're afraid of loud noises, it's definitely scary.
And pedophiles, definitely.
Yeah. You know what? I think misunderstood. No.
Nope. I'll mark that for edit.
This is going to be the one. There are certain episodes. I used to upload all of these on YouTube. And then I'm like, there are certain episodes where it's like, it would never go on YouTube. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get in some trouble if we start putting these on YouTube. These are all jokes, of course. People who do that are horrible people who deserve to be in jail. So I just want to, I feel like I'm.
Thank you for clarifying.
I want to clarify this podcast stance on pedophiles. don't like them. not
actually, over on our Patreon, we're going to do some pedophile catching.
we're going to
meet some guys in a Walmart and then show them the text that they sent us.
Oh, you're going to make me dress up like a 12-year-old girl again, aren't you?
Yeah. Again.
And by make me, I mean I was going to anyway. So thank you for giving me a part to play.
They should have an extra scene at the end of this where Freddie walks into a house and then
Chris Hansen
walks in. He's like, "Oh, I'm just meeting my friend Nancy."
What are you doing here? Have a seat.
And then the predator walks in.
You see like the three dots on Freddy Krueger.
It's the predators that we should have gotten.
You told Nancy, quote, "I'm hot, but you're hotter." What do you mean by that? Is it because you're hideously burned? Well, I guess so.
And then you send an emoji of a tongue coming out of a phone.
Now, is this a photo you sent her of a burnt hot dog, or is that that is your penis? That is your penis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's being held by knife gloves.
That could be anybody's.
That's not me.
It's very popular now. I thought the lighting was good.
We can actually see the light of the boiler coming up onto here. Your...
And that full-size swimming pool.
Regulation Olympic size. Yeah.
Do you have an oh shit moment?
I think my oh shit moment is, oh shit, they made him an actual child molester.
That's what it is.
Do you have a favorite kill in this?
I'm trying to think of, I guess the ending one where he comes through the mirror and, but then like, what are the rules? Doesn't that break the sleep rules at the end?
I think they were all microdosing LSD, maybe.
And micro naps. That's the problem.
I was micro napping instead of microdosing. That was my problem.
Should have been microdosing meth.
I do want to. That's a funny sketch where Freddy's just waiting for people to come down off their 3-day meth high.
God damn. What are they? Just close your eyes.
Aren't you a little sleepy? A little bit? Come on.
Even with the hypno seal, they'd nod off a little bit. We're on crank.
They've rotated their tires 5 goddamn times. The oven's already clean.
Yeah. What are we watching next week?
Next week, we are going to... We didn't want to just stay in the 2000s all the time, because while you were gone, we basically ran through every movie from like 2002. So a lot of new metal, buddy. But we're going to go back to the 80s and watch a lesser-known remake of David Cronenberg's The Fly. Now, a lot of people may not know it is a remake of, like, a 1960s movie, I think.
The Fly. There's a box set that you can get, and I think that the OG Fly is in black and white.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this because I've wanted to cover this movie for a long time.
You have?
Yeah. So I was like, finally, I can make Brent watch The Fly. And I
seen it.
Yep. And then right now over on Patreon.com, Patreon.com/TheComingToGetYou, we've got voting going on for a Patreon picks episode. We're going to let everybody vote on what our Patreons nominated for a remake. Because we're going to cover like the main ones, but maybe you have a lesser known remake you want us to cover. You can go online and vote for that right now.
So far on our poll, the leading remake that everybody would like to see is this episode of the podcast. They want us to remake our Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 episode already. That's how bad it was.
I like the way you're like, this is, we're wrapping this up being like, was this our best work? Probably not. But you know what? We'll get them next time.
Hey, we're only as good as the material that we cover.
Exactly. I do want to give a shout out to whoever left us a 2-star review on Apple iTunes.
Did we get a new one?
Yeah, they didn't write anything, but yeah. I noticed that we have like 50 or so, so whenever it goes up by one, I can tell. But we now have a 1-star review, a 3-star review, a bunch of 5-star reviews, so thank you for those. And then somebody left us a 2-star review. So they don't like... We're not mid, but we're not like the worst. They're like 2 stars.
You think it's because we said the C word too much?
Probably. Yep.
Well, they're coming to get you.
Barbara.
Let's do that meth.
I'm going to clean the oven.
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.